Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. And now we head inside Hong Kong with Claire Huang, who's the Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times. She joins us every week for an update and analysis of the latest from the territory. Claire, always happy to speak to you.
Hi, Howie. It's good to be on the show again.
So how has the COVID-19 situation in Hong Kong escalated since we last spoke?
Well, we have more than 6,500 cases so far, and every day for more than a week, we have had numbers, daily new infections hovering around 80 to 100. The dance cluster is now, about 500 or more. Now we have a construction site where 900 are at risk. 19 or so, basically more than a dozen, have tested positive. So these 900 people linked to the construction site in Chong Kwan O are ordered to take tests. There's a cluster that's growing in the dozens in a care home for those with disabilities. Many patients in this fourth wave of infections, Howie, are aged over 50. And health authorities are a bit worried because many of them need ICU beds. And they are expecting that more patients will need intensive care in the coming week. So a total of 360 coronavirus patients are currently staying at a temporary medical facility that's located near the airport, Asia World Expo. It's like a convention center, right? Mm. So what they said is that the, you know, this is way more, this number, 360 patients, is way more than the last wave of infections. So they're adding 500 more beds.
Mm. What else is the government doing then?
Well, besides adding hospital beds, the government is also looking to secure vaccines. And in the meantime, it has tightened measures harshly. We are having a public gatherings have been halved to two for 2 weeks. Civil servants now back to working from home. Tables at eateries are kept at two patrons. Bars, pubs, nightclubs, KTVs, cinemas have been closed. Weddings have been capped at 20 instead of 50. No food and drinks. And now the government is going to let us know about higher penalties for not complying with rules on mask wearing and compulsory testing.
But what about private, though? People meeting in private, I mean, there's a cap on public gatherings to just two people, like you said. But people meeting in private, there's private parties hosted by yacht owners, we hear.
Yes, so, they haven't been very prescriptive. Hong Kong has never been very prescriptive, unlike Singapore, right? So in terms of, but now they're getting there. But still, they have left the, homes, people in homes. It's not sensible and not realistic to do that. So what they have done, though, because there's a trend, because with party rooms, nightclubs and karaoke's now closed, there are some people, okay, who may try to rent out, private yachts and party at sea. There have been some people linked to, some of the prominent people or the Tai Tais in Hong Kong. There's a dance cluster. So there's been a hotline set up for tip-offs on this. They're hoping that they can do some sort of a curb, to prevent people. And there's, because besides the individual doing his or her part, by not going out, there's really not much more you can do.
And we laugh, but they may be in that vulnerable age group as well.
Yes.
So more stringent social distancing measures implemented. How's that, though, having an impact on businesses and people in Hong Kong, especially with the holiday season approaching? Restaurateurs predicting a bitter winter for the F&B industry. I mean, it might cost the sector, we hear, some 6 billion Hong Kong dollars.
Yes, so retail sales was down in October by 8.8% year on year. And if past experiences this year have been anything to go by, we will see more shops folding if no other help is given. So the president of the Federation of Restaurants, Simon Wong, has appealed to the government for fresh financial support and to prevent, businesses from folding and workers from losing their jobs. As it is, people are, there are a lot of eateries that shut down, staff cut. He said December normally spells brisk business for the trade regards of the festivities. There's not just Christmas. We're looking at winter solstice, which is a big thing here, right? And, he said measures requiring eateries to close at 10 p.m. and limiting, you know, the number of people at each table to two would result in a 60% drop in business. So he pointed out a lot of banquets have been booked for the month, which will now be cancelled. And this is something, this is a trend that we have seen in previous waves of the infection as well. So 2,300 restaurants were closed in the past month alone. And he has warned that the upward trend could worsen, resulting in more job losses. He expects a drop in the turnout from 11 billion Hong Kong dollars to 5 billion Hong Kong dollars for the trade in December because of the latest measures. That said, slight silver lining of sorts, it's better than no help at all, right? The tourism sector is getting funding from the government as announced in the policy address last week. So that will be some sort of a help.
Why not have citywide COVID-19 screenings? I mean, Hong Kong's first chief executive, Tung Chee Hwa, has urged the administration to do this. But current chief executive Carrie Lam has repeatedly rejected this.
So the chief executive explained during a press conference on Monday that it's difficult to test the entire population of 7 million in such a short time. Testing difficulties would be exacerbated as residents would not be allowed to return to their communities in order to avoid cross-infection. And then inbound travelers will also be banned from entering the city. So there are a lot of these restrictions. And if you look at Hong Kong's track record, right, it has so far not fully shut its borders. So that would be very hard to swing, you see, to do it on a large scale.
Speaking of travel, that Singapore-Hong Kong travel corridor didn't get started at all. How much more do we know about the delay, Claire?
Well, how it's not happening this year, it might happen in January, depending on the situation. That's because the 7-day moving average for unknown local cases, which is the benchmark here for deciding whether there's a travel bubble or not, is hovering in the range of 16 to 20. That is many, many folds above the threshold of 5.
Yeah.
So I think people who were very excited are now not very excited, quite upset. I've spoken to some of them, right? On top of that, I think the point would be, I think it's like an investment where you go into it knowing that you could bear losses.
Yeah, there are risks involved, of course. Yeah,
there are risks involved, right? Yeah.
Let's switch to politics, though, in the city. Media tycoon Jimmy Lai has been charged with fraud, while activist Joshua Wong and two friends are now in jail. What's happening?
So let's start with Nix Digital founder Jimmy Lai, who, along with two of his senior executives, have been charged with fraud. The three are accused of using Nix Digital's headquarters in Chong Kuan All for purposes not permitted by the lease. So this he's a vocal anti-Beijing critic, Harry, and he's among the most prominent individuals arrested so far in that block. So he was arrested in August previously as well and was initially accused of breaching national security law, although he hasn't been charged. And then if you look at the Demosisto, former Demosisto trio, the pro-democracy activists Joshua Wong, Agnes Chow, and Ivan Lam, they were sentenced to between 7 and 13 and a half months in jail. Wong was viewed as the leader, and he got the lengthiest punishment of 13 and a half months. Thousands of people had laid siege to the building in Wan Chai on June 21st last year. They were demanding the withdrawal of the government's then not scrapped extradition bill, and the police stopped, you know, and that police stopped describing protests earlier in the movement as riots. So the three of them were found guilty. They pleaded guilty to inciting and organizing this illegal rally. On a domestic front, the sentences would mean this is a clear signal to the public, you know, of the consequences of following suit. But Professor Sing Ming of the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology says this outcome could add ammunition to pro-democracy activists who are in exile, for example, Nathan Law, and basically these activists in exile overseas, and they can urge foreign nations to react.
All right, Claire, always grateful for your insights. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Howie.
Claire Huang is the Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times. Hopefully we'll meet up next year. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.